AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com.
We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us on this Tuesday morning. Davis, it was a week ago today where just like out of the clear blue sky, all of a sudden, some strength started to build in the corn market, and there was chatter of this quote-unquote flash drought developing in the eastern Corn Belt.
Was that a week ago already? It seemed like only yesterday.
No, it was longer ago than that because remember we tried to get Joe Vaclavic to say drought, and then once he said it.
Yeah, he said he wasn't going to say it, and then he couldn't stop saying it.
Right, and then the flood gates opened up, and
the drought gates, you might
say. The drought gates, I guess. Yeah. All right, let's find out what's going on over there. Ken Ferry is with Crop Tech Consulting, and, of course, he is the Farm Journal agronomist. Ken, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Doing good, Chip. How about yourself?
Doing real fine, real fine. So tell us about the planting season, Ken. How did it go?
You know, kind of in phases, I guess. Here, Central Illinois, anyway, we just pounded the soybeans in early. And then started in on corn. A lot of corn went in that first week in May, and we ended up with some replant scattered through all of it due to some of these crazy pockets of 3-4 inches of rain that kind of pounded things in. So I think right now we've kind of healed up from the Mother's Day massacre, and a lot of the replanting has been done in the ponds and stuff. But we got corn from knee-high to just coming out of the ground, and we got beans that are flowering as of last Thursday, and some that are just starting to come up. So got a wide range in this crop this year.
Yeah, some diversity. You said you pounded the beans in early. Was that by design, or was that dictated by field conditions?
Mainly by design, as far as guys were ready to strike when the conditions were there, trying to get this pre-solstice flowering underway. And then the conditions were, dry, but, cold, and not the best place to stick corn in the ground. But, from the soybean side, we got some fantastic looking early beans, across the state here now that, really look good. And like I said, a 3-5 bean flowering last Thursday, that tells you that we're going to hit this pre-solstice flowering like we wanted with those early planted beans.
Right. How does that trigger, Ken?
It's triggered by night length. So if you think about today, the days are getting longer, the nights shorter until we get to the solstice on that 21st of June, and then it switches. And by night length, our critical photo period triggers when a flower, based on its maturity, should start flowering. Well, a lot of early beans start flowering around that 21st, and your later beans would be that first week in July. But if you can plant them early enough, get them big enough, they can catch the photo period as the days are lengthening and the nights are shortening up. You can actually catch that period on the front end. So instead of like a 3-5 bean flowering the first week in July, here we are, we're not even June, and we're flowering already. So you're adding a month to the flowering window.
Yeah.
That's where some of these larger yields come from.
That's fantastic. Fantastic. We keep wondering how we are going to produce enough soybeans on a limited number of acres for all the crush capacity that's coming on. Yield is, we're discovering things on the yield side of soybeans all the time. Right?
Yeah. And we knew early planted beans were where you needed to be for some of the push, but we didn't have the technology to get around sudden depth that we do today. So now with today's seed treatments, it makes us braver sticking those beans in when we know it could be 2-3 weeks before they get out of the ground.
That's fantastic. Fantastic. So give us a status update right now. It sounds like you got that big diversity in crop development out there. But we started hearing about some dry conditions in Illinois and other areas of the Eastern Belt last week. What is the status on that?
It is pretty dry. Some of the later planted corn here in May is pretty small for the amount of stress that's starting to show up now as far as rolling on that corn. And it's crazy, even in those areas where we had 3-4 inches of rain that give us emergence issues, it's dry on top now too, meaning that these temperatures with the low humidity pull this water out pretty quick. So we are going to have some crop root development issues. We call it the, you know, rootless corn syndrome. There's going to be some of this corn as it continues to grow. It's going to get kind of floppy. It's going to lean whatever direction the wind blows it until we can get a rain and get these crown roots established.
the rootless corn, I know what you're talking about there. It does leave you at risk of losing some population, doesn't it?
Yeah, population and you know, the guys that no-till and have trouble sometimes closing the slot, they understand what rootless corn looks like. Guys in conventional till a lot of times don't see it, but those crown roots are not brace roots. Brace roots come above ground and they can grow into air. Crown roots have to grow into moist soil. So if you leave your slot open, they won't grow. And if the soil gets so dry at the surface, they won't grow either. So you might have one set of crown roots and the other four laying there dormant until we do get a rain and the corn keeps growing. Then all of a sudden it starts to, you know, like I said, lean. Different direction. There just isn't enough root mass there to hold it up like it should when it gets to be 6, 8, 10 inches tall in that time frame.
Not really a lot that you can do about it either, is there?
Not much. You know, you might back off of your, you know, your Banville type products, Marksman products, stuff that has the growth regulators in it, because that can mess with the corn in that shape. If you don't have weeds busting through the label, you may pause, you know, with your herbicide just so you don't add any more stress to it. If the slot's open, one other thing that you can do is roll crop cultivator, roll soil around it. But we don't have a lot of row crop cultivators out there anymore, or people that know how to run them. But situation, once the corn flips over, then you're kind of stuck. You can't get in there and clean that up. And I don't think it'll be a big issue on a lot of acres, but I think these last acres that went in this really dry soil where guys were having to push dry soil away to get the moisture to plant, there's just not a lot of moisture there, and we need a rain to fix it. One rain probably will fix it.
Okay. What have you got any rain in the forecast?
No. That's our tough spot. We got a 10-day forecast with low humidity, upper 80s, 90s in temperatures, and, you know, just no real realistic shot of rain. Hopefully, as they say, they're only good for 3 days. Hopefully this forecast changes. But the forecast doesn't look good in that situation.
Okay.
Now, as a crop, if we're going to be dry, now is probably that window to be dry. We can handle dry weather in this situation compared to what it would be during grain fill or flowering or that type of thing. If we have to pick a window to be dry in, this is probably the safer one, but you feel more comfortable when that crop is, you know, growing like crazy out there and nothing slowing it down than the pausing that it's taking now to roll up during the day.
Wow. Okay. All right. What do you want guys, what do you want growers doing at this time of the year with the stage of the crop? We've plenty of scouting to do, isn't there?
Yeah, we still got to stay on top of the cutworm. Now, most of our growers are protected with traits or maybe soil insecticide, but if you're not and you're just planted here in May, cutworm pressure has been pretty strong. We've sprayed some of our plots for cutworm and actually seen some cutworm in our soybeans in our cover crop stuff. Anything that's got cover crop habitat for that cutworm, the trap counts are high. We would say for our wheat growers, the armyworm counts have been high. So if you're growing corn in cover, or if you got wheat out there that hasn't, you know, been sprayed with an insecticide, to watch for that armyworm. Those are the two right now from an insect side that are giving us trouble. We are seeing some of last year's herbicides come back and tickle this corn a little bit. And again, that would be here in Illinois due to such a dry June. So some of the, seeing a little bit of carryover, slowing some of this corn down too. Not much you can do about it other than recognize it and then try not to stress that corn in the next few weeks. Hopefully it'll push through the herbicide issues and get back to running again.
Outstanding. Okay. Nutrient deficiencies, do we need to be looking for it?
Right now here, we're in what we call the carbon penalty. So you do see some off color in the corn, some yellow in the whorl and yellow in it from a nitrogen deficiency. Not much you can do about it today, but you can think about how you set your 4Rs up to manage around that corn slowing down some for the future.
Gotcha. Ken, thank you, buddy. We really appreciate your time this morning. Let's talk again soon.
You bet.
All right, Ken Ferry, Crop Tech Consulting and Farm Journal Agronomist. Jim Wiesmeyer next.